Are you ready to amen the word of God?
Amen.
We come to the evening session, message two. If you can open up your book, and maybe we can all declare the title of this evening line, which is the title of our college training. How about let's all declare it together? Knowing, seeing, and gaining God in an age of godlessness. Sisters. Brothers, knowing, seeing, and gaining God in an age of godlessness. So tonight we come to message two. Before we get to the title and the outline, I'd just like to share a little bit. We pray that tonight you all would remain open to the Lord speaking. You know, when you get a bacterial infection, strep throat, different kinds of infections. You know what you need is you need antibiotics. Antibiotics. And antibiotics don't work just by taking one dose. You have to take some one day and some the next day and the next day and the next day. Our daughter recently, she had an ear infection. It was about 2 weeks. Each day she needed a little bit. So I just want to mention this because I hope each meeting, this college training, you would be open to the Lord's word. Not just open to one meeting, but each meeting the Lord would minister something to you. His word in Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:10, it says that God's words are the healthy teachings. The healthy teachings that would kill the germs within us, but would also nourish us with God himself. So I hope all of you would pray and be open tonight. Whatever the Lord speaks, you would bring that word back to the Lord. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. If you struggle with the word from last night, word tonight, the word tomorrow, any words that the Lord speaks to you, pray over them. Let them get into your being. Because these words will heal you. These words will kill all the germs that are within us. It's not my word, but it's the Lord's word. And I want to give you a verse here that I was just considering as I was preparing to share with you. 2 Corinthians 11:3. Paul says to the Corinthians, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your thoughts would be corrupted from the simplicity and singleness toward Christ." So, as we come to this line in the evening session, we're burdened for you young people. Many of you have grown up in the church life. Grew up in the church life, but we fear that just as the serpent deceived Eve, he could deceive us, and he could especially touch our thoughts. As Brother Mark mentioned last night, our thoughts and our heart is what directs our whole life. Where you will be in 10 years, what you will do, all these things are directed by the thoughts that you're receiving today. Your heart, what is your heart set on? That's where you will end up. So we're so burdened for you that as you're going to college, certainly we are happy that many of you are getting education. You could be useful to the Lord. But at the same time, in our universities, in the education system, there's other thoughts that are getting in besides math, English, science, business. There's other thoughts. And we're fearful that you could be deceived and your thoughts could lead you away from the Lord and from his purpose. So we're praying for you. We're praying for you this week. The God of this age, he would like to blind to corrupt, to warp, to twist, and pervert your thoughts and those of all the young people. This week, what are we doing here? We're standing with God. Amen. Are you standing with God?
Amen.
We're standing with God and the apostles to fight for your thoughts and your hearts. You know how we fight? We fight in our prayers. Even tonight, I believe, through the dear saints in the localities, that they're praying for us. We also fight by speaking. We fight by speaking to you the healthy words that are found in the Holy Word. The Holy Word is filled with healthy words. If you are open, dear young people, these words will unveil you. They will enlighten you. They will renew you, and they will reconstitute you with God's thought and with the desire of His heart. This is our burden this week. I don't know how many of you were there 2 years ago at the National College Training. Many of you may remember the title or maybe even still have your t-shirts. They still look pretty good, even after a couple years. Age turners. And those of you that maybe weren't there, I'm sure you enjoyed some of those wonderful songs that came out on being an age turner. But you know, the word that's been going through me the last 2 years after that training was, in order to turn this age, you cannot be a part of the age. How could you turn an age that you're just fully involved in? There's no way. To be an age turner, we need to be one who is separated, who is rescued from the evil age. And so this word this week is so precious to us, that we would know God, see God, gain God in an age of godlessness. This is the age that we're in. In the first message, I'd just like to remind you of two main points. The world today is filled with darkness and wickedness, primarily because men do not know God. Never forget this. This is the source. This is the reason why there's darkness, why there's wickedness. Because men have, even though they knew God, they did not hold the knowledge of God in their understanding. Right? They rejected God. They said, no, there is no God. And what comes in? When man forsakes God, God forsakes man. And what does that lead to? It leads to all the evil and the wicked things that we see in today's age. But last night there was also some good news. We can be rescued.
Amen.
Dear young people, we can be rescued.
Amen.
From this present evil age by knowing God. And that's what these next five evening messages will cover, is how can we know God? What does it mean to know God? What can I do to know God? So this is what we want to spend our time on. Now, I just give you one other verse, and then we'll begin the outline. Exodus 33:13. You could write that down. Exodus 33:13. In this verse, Moses was speaking to Jehovah, and he said, and this would be a wonderful prayer that I would encourage you to pray personally and corporately. Moses says to Jehovah, "Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please let me know now your ways, that I may know you." Isn't that precious? Moses said, let me know, please, please, God. Do you sense his attitude toward God? God, please, let me know now your ways, that I may know you, so that I may continue to find favor in your sight. Hasn't the Lord shown favor to us? That we're here tonight shows us the Lord has shown favor to us. He's been merciful to us. He's been gracious to us. But we want that favor to continue. How would it continue? It would continue if we would know His ways so that we may know Him. We may know Him. We want to know God in a personal way, in a subjective way, in an intimate way. And God wants to be known by us. So this is a very good prayer. I encourage you to pray to the Lord, even all week long. Pray this prayer. Now, let's come to message two. How about let's read the title together? All right? Believing that God is. One more time. Believing that God is. Roman numeral one together. We need to know God not only as our Father, but as God. In this verse in John 20, 17, you may remember, as the Lord was on His way to ascension, He stopped because there was a lover, there was a seeker who was looking for Him, and that was Mary. And the Lord said to her, "Do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." When we read this verse, probably we focus on the matter of, oh, go to my brothers. We're brothers. Jesus is our brother. Isn't this good? Yeah, this is good. This isn't a bad point. We're brothers of Jesus. And therefore, if we're brothers of Jesus, that means His Father is our Father. So it's so sweet in the Lord's table to say, Father, Abba, Father, You're our Father. Young people, God is our Father.
Amen.
Wow. We'll talk more about that tomorrow night. But the emphasis tonight is that God would also be our God. Maybe you just skipped over that part of the verse. My God and your God. What does it mean that God is the God of Jesus? Have you ever thought about that? Because we know the truth. Jesus is God. The Word became flesh. The Word was with God, was God. The Word became flesh. Jesus is God. So how can God be His God? It's because Jesus is not only God, Jesus is a man. As a man, God is His God. As a man, God is Jesus' God, is the Son's God. What about us? As a man, we need to know God. As a son of God, we need to know the Father. But as a man, as a creature, as someone created by God, do we know God as God? This is the question tonight. This is what's before us. We need to know God as God. Now, in letter A, it says in the New Testament, God is clearly revealed as being the only God. Our God is uniquely one. He is utterly distinct from the many false gods. So the first point in letter A is there's only one God, young people. We only have one God. He's unique. There's no one like Him. There's not another one. We shouldn't have many gods. We have one God, one unique God. The enemy of God, what does he want to do? He wants to provide many idols as substitutes for God. But I hope that the Lord would shine in us and He would help us to realize we should only have one God. Oh Lord, may You be my unique God. My education is not my God. I need it. I'm doing it. I take care of my responsibility so I can be useful, so I can get a job, however the Lord may lead you. But my education is not my God. I don't serve my education. I don't bow down to my education. Finances, money. To many, money is their God. They just, why are they studying? Why are they working? To make more money. So money becomes a God. May money never be your God. So we need to see that God is the unique God. He's the only God. In 1 Corinthians 8:4, it says, "An idol is, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no God but one." There is no God but one. We should be so clear that we only have one God. We want to know this God, this unique God. Then in letter B, how about let's read together, letter B. We need to realize who we are and who God is. We are God's creatures, and He is our Creator. We know God created the heavens and the earth. He's the Creator, and we are His creatures. We need to realize who we are and who God is. In this sense, we are not on the same level as God. God is the Creator. Have you created anything recently? Just called it into being? You're on your final exam. You're like, let there be an A. And there was an A. You had a D going in, and you got an A on the report card on your final grades. Wow. If you've done that, yeah, let me know. Let me know. I'd like to learn from you. I don't think so, right? We can't create things. Only God can create. Only God can call things into being that were not there. We are creatures. We are the creatures of God. We need to come to know God as the Creator. And in these verses, we see in number one, how about let's read together this one. This is a very good verse, point. God is the potter, and we are the clay in His hand. God, the potter, is sovereign. I'd like to give you the definition of sovereign. What does it mean that God is sovereign? Maybe you've heard in books, reading literature or things, the sovereign, right? Sovereign means the ruler. Yeah, sometimes they refer to the king, right, as the sovereign. Sovereign means to rule. So here's a definition of sovereignty. Sovereignty means unlimited right, authority, power, and position. God, as the potter, should have unlimited right, authority, power, and position over us. God is the potter, and we are the clay. In these verses in Romans 9, I encourage you to read these if you haven't before. It says, but rather, O man, who are you who answer back to God? If we think about the age today, what is the age? It's just like this. Man answering back to God. Who are we, though, to answer back to God? Shall the thing molded say to him who molded it, why did you make me thus? Or does not the potter have authority over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? We have to see God as God, which means He's the potter and we are the clay. We're the clay in His hands. And He just decides to make a vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. By His mercy, we're here, right? Even later, it speaks of vessels of mercy. Vessels of mercy. This is us. This is us. We're vessels of mercy. But we have to see that He is God. He is God. If we come to know God, then we will no longer have any issues with God's ways. with God's ways. You know what God's ways are? God's ways are the ways that He deals with us, the way that He cares for us, the way that He arranges our life. To know God means we're okay with any arrangement God makes. I'd like to give you three words that I hope you could write down, and I hope the Lord could lead you to experience more and more. Number one, we need to recognize God for His ways. Number two, we need to accept His ways. And number three, may the Lord lead us to worship Him for His ways. Worship Him. So first of all, we would come to recognize God's ways. This is God's way. This is the way God is dealing with me. This is what God has arranged for me. This is the way God made me. This is where God put me. We would recognize it. Then we would accept it. And finally, we would be able to worship God for His ways. This is what Moses did. In Exodus 33 that I read to you, he asked God to know His ways, that he may know Him. And in chapter 34, just a few verses later, it says that God appeared to Moses, showed him His glory, spoke to him, and it says Moses bowed and worshiped. Bowed and worshiped. We need to be those who would worship God for His ways. Are you open? Are you willing for God to do whatever He wills with you, through you, and to you for the fulfillment of His purpose? Would you pray such a prayer? Lord, whatever You will, whatever's on Your heart concerning me, Lord, do that. Would you pray to the Lord, Lord, You can do whatever You will. If you pray such a prayer, young people, the direction of your life will be settled. The direction of your life will be settled. You don't have to be anxious. You can just trust that God will care for you. We should exist for God's will. This is the purpose of our life, is to be vessels of mercy, vessels unto honor. But this is what it means to know God, is to know God's ways and to worship Him, to honor Him, to accept all of His arrangements. You know, in Psalm 139, verse 14, I just give you this as another reference in this Roman numeral 1. The psalmist says, I will praise You, for I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and my soul knows it well. When you know God, you praise Him, you worship Him, for you are awesomely and wonderfully made. God didn't make a mistake. God didn't make a mistake. He made you just the way He wanted to. You're made wonderfully. You know, in my family, I'm the oldest of four boys, and all my brothers are taller than me. But I'm the oldest, right? Shouldn't I be taller? Thank You, Lord. I am awesomely and wonderfully made. The way you are physically, maybe you, I wish my nose was a little smaller. My ears, I wish they're kind of round. I wish they were more narrow. Maybe we've complained to the Lord about things like this. But the Lord's word said, you are awesomely and wonderfully made. Amen. And I praise You. And my soul knows it well. We should worship the Lord for the way He's made us. Even you say, I wish I was really, man, those brothers, those sisters, man, they memorized all the verses. I just keep forgetting the verse. I just, I get like the first part, but I just can't remember it. The Lord made you the way you are. Whatever our capacity is, physically, mentally, spiritually, oh, I wish I could stand up and prophesy like that brother. Man, he gets all the points together and he doesn't get mixed up. And every time I stand up, it doesn't come out right. I say what I didn't want to say and I didn't say what I wanted to say. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. On one hand, we're all learning. We're exercising. I encourage you, keep memorizing. Keep speaking the word. The first time I prophesied, all I could do was read a verse and say, I enjoyed this verse, saints. Amen. But the more we practice, the more we exercise, the more the Lord will build up our capacity. But I just like you to see this, that however we were made, we would just worship the Lord. The Lord has not made any mistakes. Say, oh, the world today. Oh, I'm not feeling like a boy today. I'm not feeling like a male. I feel a little like a female today. What does that mean? That means that you don't know God. You don't know God. To say that means that we don't know God. Why did you make me thus? He made you in the way he made you so that you would be for his glory. That's why he made you. So we need to see this. We need to recognize, accept, and worship him for the way that he's made us. And in every way, there's no mistakes. The Lord has not made any mistakes in our life. And dear young people, this is really the basis of our consecration. We have to realize we belong to God. He created us. We're his vessels. We're his creation. We belong to him. Not only did we belong to him by creation, then he redeemed us. He became a man to have blood so that he could die on the cross and redeem us because Satan usurped us. So at least two ways, we belong to God. He created us. He redeemed us. We're his. How could we do anything else? How could we reject him? How could we take another way? We belong to God. This is a firm base. I hope you would see this and you would recognize this. In number two, it says, as the potter, our God has the absolute right over us. Regarding us, he has the right to do whatever he desires. The absolute right. Whatever he desires. Have you opened to the Lord about this? Would you pray this way to the Lord? It seems a little risky. Oh, Lord, I don't know if I want to say this to you. Do whatever you want in my life. Because I'm just right now, I'm kind of getting my plans together. I figured out my major after a couple years. Yeah, I have a plan now, you know. I want to get this degree. I want to get into this career. But the Lord says, he's the potter. He has absolute right. Would you give the Lord absolute right? Would you pray these kind of prayers to the Lord, even tonight, this week? Lord, I just give you my life. I give you my future. We sing it. We sing it, right? Lord, take my life. I present it to you. But do we really know God in this way? Is it just a nice tune that we sing? Or has the Lord actually worked something in our being and caused us to have a resolution, a vow, a consecration to him? Not to do anything for him, but just to hand ourselves over to him. That's what the Lord really needs, young people. Yeah, he just needs some young people who would just give themselves to him. Yeah, without any strings, Lord, I give myself to you as long as you do this. But ones that would just say, Lord, whatever you want to do, Lord, I'm open to you. One other verse I wanted to read to you is in Matthew chapter 11. If you want to write this down, Matthew 11, verses 3 to 6. In these verses, we see the example of John the Baptist. John the Baptist. Remember, John the Baptist came. He saw Jesus in John chapter 1. And he said what? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John 1:29. What a revelation. This was the Lamb of God. He baptized. He prepared the way for the Lord. But after a while, John was put in prison. And there he was in prison. He certainly heard of all the things that the Lord was doing. And he asked, he sent one of his disciples. Yeah, he heard the works of the Lord. In verse 2, it says, he heard in prison the works of Christ. So he sent word through his disciple. Verse 3, he said to him, are you the coming one? What? John, you just a little while ago, you said, behold, the Lamb of God. Are you the coming one? I've been in prison for a while, and I'm not sure anymore. Are you the coming one, or should we expect another? And Jesus answered and said to them, go report to John the things that you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised and the poor of the gospel announced to them. And this is the key verse, verse 6. And blessed is he who is not stumbled because of me. Blessed is he who is not stumbled because of me. Dear young people, blessed are you if you are not stumbled because of the Lord. John was hoping that the Lord would do something for him to change his situation. But the Lord was silent. How many of us have situations, Lord, are you the Savior? Are you the one? Or is there one coming out? Are you going to do something, Lord? Lord, do something. And the Lord is silent. This is to know God as God. Whether he does something for you or he doesn't, you still believe in him. You still honor him. You recognize him. You accept him. And even you could be brought to the point to worship him. This is the kind of young people the Lord needs today. Those that would know him in such a way, whether he changes the situation or not, in your locality, in your family. Blessed is he. Blessed are we if we're not stumbled in the Lord. And especially, I would say, young people, in what the Lord doesn't do for you. Yeah, many times we're asking, Lord, do this. Lord, arrange this. Lord, you got to change this. And there's silence. I mean, is God real? Does he hear me? Why doesn't he hear my prayer? He's God. He's God. Who are we who answer back to God? So we need to know God. We need to know ourselves, who we are. And we need to know who God is. As his creatures in 3, we should not resist his purpose or answer back to him, the Creator. One thing that we're tempted to do in the church life or as a young person is we're often tempted to compare ourselves with others. But Lord, they go there. Why don't you let me go? They do that. She can wear that. Why can't I wear that? He can do that. Why can't... Many times we compare. But the Lord is your master. The Lord is God to you. He's God to each one of us. He has a particular course, a particular arrangement for each one of us that He's designed specifically. He didn't just create many clones and they're all doing the same thing and wearing the same thing, going the same place. He arranged everything in our life just the way it is. He arranged for me to have 3 younger brothers. And He arranged for me to have now 4 daughters. Lord, what are you doing? I don't know what to do with girls. I grew up wrestling and playing sports. And I go to take my little girls to play soccer, and they're like, I'm like, kick the ball. My wife and I are looking at each other going, whose kids are these? We're competitive. We're aggressive. The Lord knows what I need. I don't know how many times at the soccer field I was like, Lord. Really? I couldn't watch the game. I just had to walk away and pray, Lord. Lord Jesus. The Lord knows what to arrange to gain us. Everything is designed to gain you because He wants you to gain God. There's no mistakes. When I was in, I was in the full-time training. Afterwards, I went to graduate school. The Lord opened up. Oh, I got a fellowship to go to a college in Southern California, and I had been serving there in the training. Oh, the brothers were all happy. Well, the brother, he's going to come and be a student here. And there's money that's, wow, Lord, you bless me. My first semester in graduate school, I got a B minus. By the way, in graduate school, B minus is failing. Yeah. I failed the class. But Lord, you led me here. I just came from the training. I just served you. I gave my life to you. And I was with you enjoying the training 2 years. Now I felt you leading me to graduate school. After 1 quarter, B minus. And they had told us the very first semester, there are certain classes, if you get a B minus in these classes, you're out of the graduate program. What? What is the Lord doing? What was He doing? Did He make a mistake? Maybe I thought He did at that time. And maybe you think He's made a mistake in your life in some areas. You know what happened? I got a letter from the chairman at the end of the first year. Thank you, Mr. Bernier, for being with us, but you will no longer be able to continue in the graduate program. Let you finish up your master's degree. You're out. What's going on, Lord? What should I do? So I finished my master's. I was like, should I serve the Lord? You know, I had a desire to serve the Lord. Should I continue? Just praying, opening to the Lord. I felt to continue in graduate school. I applied to graduate programs. I didn't get accepted anywhere except for UC Riverside. Riverside. That's not one of the top UCs. I had no choice. I went out to Riverside, finished graduate school in Riverside. I've been in Riverside now for 20 years. 20 years. My wife was born in Riverside. Came into the church life in college. Did God make a mistake sending me to Riverside? No way. I wouldn't be married right now. Well, at least I don't know if I would be, yeah. but not to the dear wife that the Lord has given me and the dear four daughters that we have together. Wow. When I look back, I can see everything the Lord did in my life was arranged by Him. Lord, You do everything well. All I can do is worship. All I can do is say, thank You, Lord. You knew exactly what I needed. You knew that I needed a fail. I never failed a class in my whole life. Why did it have to be the first class in grad school? Why couldn't I have failed another class? Because the Lord didn't want me to remain in that place. He wanted me to be in Riverside. Since I've been in Riverside, finished graduate school, got a job, looking at other jobs. Oh, Lord, what about this place? Oh, what about that place? Riverside's really hot, by the way. Yeah. Last couple weeks, it was over 100 degrees. So it's really refreshing to be with you these days. Do I got to go back? Amen, Lord. God is God. But we have a burden to migrate. We have a burden to go somewhere. But the Lord has kept us there. The Lord doesn't want us to go anywhere. The Lord's given us a house right across the street from the college. Yeah, I teach at the college. We have a home across the street. Students come over to our home. God is God. He's just arranged everything the best. Everything's the best that it can be. So this is my short testimony to you. Yeah, to know Him. Not to compare with others. Not to resist Him. Not to argue. But to just know God. You are God. You know exactly what I need. You know where I need to be. You know what I need to do. Do I need to serve full time? Do I need to go to the full time training? Maybe I need to stay back a year and work and pay off some student loans. Maybe I need to take care of my aging parents who are sick. The Lord knows your path. The Lord knows your path. And it's a great thing as a young person to be at peace with the Lord's arrangement for you. It really makes us anxious and bothered and stressed when we don't know what the Lord wants us to do. When we're trying to be something that we think we should be. But what a rest to just be where the Lord wants you to be. And to do what the Lord wants you to do. This is a great blessing. A great blessing. Okay, we better move on. So this is to know God, as the Creator. Now in letter C, God is the only true God. So this is another aspect. In A, I would underline only God. Only God. In B, I would underline Creator. And in C, I would underline true God. He's the only true God. God is the reality, the truth. Anything that is without Him is not true, not a reality. So what are we pursuing? We should be pursuing the true God. In John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God. This is eternal life, to know God. Through God's life, which we'll fellowship about tomorrow night, through God's life, we can know God. God's life enables us to know God in an inward way, in the way of life. The only true God. He is the only true God, young people. He is the reality. Aren't the young people on the campuses searching for reality? Right? Truth. Oh, so noble to seek for truth. God is the truth. God is the reality. If you know God, you will know reality. In D, how about let's read together D. The meaning of the name Jehovah is I am that I am. His being the I am signifies that He is the one who exists from eternity to eternity. So, of course, to know God, we should know His name. Right? If you want to know a person, first thing is to know their name. God's name is Jehovah. Jehovah. And this was what Moses learned as he came to God, saw him in the burning bush. He said, "What is your name? What shall I tell the children of Israel?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you." Jehovah means I am. I am is the one who exists from eternity to eternity. God is the only self-existent and ever-existent being. He's the only one. He depends on nothing apart from himself. Isn't this something? God is self-existent. So the people ask, where did God come from? Yeah, you believe in God? Then where's God? Who created God? God is self-existent. He doesn't depend on anyone, anything apart from himself. He's self-existent. He's ever-existent. This is our God. I am that I am. So this name I am means these things. He's self-existing, ever-existing. Let me ask you, 30 years ago, some of you young people, where were you? Oh, I'm only 22. Exactly. But God was here. God was here. Before we were, right? The I am was. The I am was. So he's God, we're not God. In letter A, it says God is. And we must believe that he is. He is. God is. That's what the title of this message is. Believing that God is. God is, but we are not. And all things are not either. So there are things, of course, we see, the material things we see. But again, we ask, if we go back far enough, these things were not. And in the future, these things will not be. Right? They're not eternal. They're not God. So how could we give our lives for the material possessions? Things that are not. That are not. That car, oh, it looks so nice today. 2017 Beamer. Whatever it may be. Whatever cars the sisters like to. But how long will that car be? Right? It won't be long before that car is in a heap of collapse. Yeah. Got to get another car. So it's that car not is not. Is not. But God is. We need to believe that he is. Amen. This is Hebrews 11:6. Those who come forward to God must believe that he is. Amen. Lord, you are. Amen. Even as we get to know him more and more, we realize we are not, right? We're less confident in ourselves. When we're young, we have a lot of zeal, a lot of confidence, a lot of capability. We're strong. We can do a lot for the Lord. But as we go on, we hope that little by little we would realize he is. And that means that I am not. If he is everything, then what are you? He's everything. Yeah, he's everything. So there's nothing left. So that means that we would be nothing. Doesn't mean that go away. It means open to the one who is everything, right? Know, you need to know God as the I am. The I am. We all need to know God in this way. Now, this becomes more experiential here. B says, heaven and earth may pass away, but God is. We should not believe in anything other than God. So you know what? How about this? I have a weakness. I have a weakness. I really enjoy the college trainings and the conferences and being with the saints and the meetings. But when I go home, oh man, there's this thing called Netflix. And there's just like so many shows. And there's no commercials anymore. And I can just watch it and watch it and watch it. I have this weakness. But you know, I like to tell you, young people, your weakness is not. God is. Your weakness is not. Netflix is not. Netflix will not be. There will be a day when Netflix will not be. But Jehovah is the I am. Amen. He is. Don't believe that weakness. Come to Jehovah. Come to the I am. Open to Him. We need to believe. We should not believe in anything other than God. If we know God as the one who is, who was, and who will be, we shall be greatly encouraged, especially during difficult times. So this is a great encouragement. This was an encouragement to John, the aged apostle in Revelation 1:4. He said, "Grace to you and peace from Him who is, who was, and who is coming." Dear young people, whatever situation you have, it will not last forever. But the I am will. Yeah, we may go through difficulties, trials, sufferings, but believe me, there's one who will still be there, who will enable us to pass through difficult times. And this is the I am. We need to know God as the one who is, who was, and who will be. This will be a real encouragement to you. Now, how about let's read letter two. Number two, sorry. God being the I am means I am whatever you need, and I am everything. So this is even more experiential. I am. You can fill in the blank. So I am means He's self-existing, He's ever-existing. But I am also means whatever you need. You just fill it in. It's like a blank check. Have you ever got a blank check? You're like, no, I just have my own checkbook. But what if someone just said, yeah, here's the checkbook. Whatever you need. You finished a job. They said, whatever you feel. Just go ahead and, fill that in. Oh, wow. Boy, whatever I need. What do you need, young people? Maybe even this week, living with one another. Although it's pretty nice accommodations, right, to have your own room. Maybe you need patience. Wake up in the morning, oh, I was going to take a shower. Oh, man, the sister got in there before me. And then you go back to your room, and then the door opens, and then another one gets, oh, man, oh, Lord, I need the I am. I need patience, Lord, to wait for the bathroom. I need endurance. Endurance. What about your even being in school, right? To finish, to get through, right? Oh, man, if I just didn't have to take pre-calculus, man, I would have graduated already. It's just like hitting a wall every time I take that class. And then, those professors, man, I just didn't have any good teachers. That must be it. Maybe I could do it online. He's your endurance. Your endurance. Just keep going. You need the I am. You know what He is? He's our hope. This age is full of young people that are depressed, discouraged. They look at the world situation. They don't have any hope. Dear young people, He is your hope. Hope in Him. Don't hope in the world situation to change. He's our joy. He's our joy. Isn't He our joy together? When we come to the meetings, we just touch a joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Isn't this the Lord? He's the I am. He's our joy. And you know what, young people? He's your peace. I know these years, many times, full of anxiety, right? Trying to figure out what you're going to do, what you're going to study, where you're going to go, how you're going to pay for it, how you're going to work out your schedule. Oh, but if you would just say, Lord, be my peace. Lord, I need you as peace. He's the I am. Whatever you need, I just give you a few examples, but whatever you need, you just talk to him. When you have your morning time tomorrow morning, do you just tell him what you need? Say, Lord, I need you as this. Lord, I'm short of this. And he will be that to you. As the self-existing one and ever-existing one, God is the reality of every positive thing. Every positive thing. He's your chair right now. He's upholding you. He was your meal. He's your dessert. Amen. That's a positive thing. He's the reality. Oh, he's sweet. He's so tasty. He's your water just to quench all your thirst. Everything that we need. He is all we need. Life, light, food, drink, the way, and everything. Now, as we continue here, E, God is eternal. So this would be the last point I would encourage you to underline. God is eternal. This indicates that God remains immutable, not subject to any change due to any kind of environments and circumstances. Isn't this encouraging? He doesn't change. He's immutable. God in the Bible is typified by gold. Gold. I think I have a little bit of gold in this ring still. Yeah. Gold doesn't change. It's one of those elements. You know, we don't get rings made of iron, right? Oh, look at my iron ring. And then 5 years later, oh, it's rust. Wow. It's not very attractive, right? It's like, what happened to your marriage? Yeah. Gold. God is gold. Our God is gold. He's golden. He's immutable. He's eternal. He never changes. The situations will change in your life, but God will never change. So you need to know him. He will make you unchangeable, unshakable, right? What does it say in 1 Corinthians 15? Immovable, right? Be steadfast, brothers. Be steadfast, sisters. Immovable. Wow, I can't do that. I'm easily shaken. I get discouraged when I don't see some of my companions in the meeting, the college meeting, or I go to the Bible study. How about you? And there's only 5 of us, and there should be 10 of us. Man, what's... And then the next week, what's going on? Our club's falling apart. Nobody has a heart for the meeting. But this eternal God, he's immovable. When people don't show up to the meeting, you know what he does? He intercedes for them. Wow. He's not discouraged. He's not down. The Lord never gets down. He never gets disappointed. We need such a God. Don't we need such a God? We need to know such a God in our experience. He's the eternal one. It says in Psalms, it says, you are the same, and your years are without end. Even the earth and the heavens, it says, they wear out, but the Lord is the one who will never change. The Lord, dear young people, he's the real evergreen. Oh, evergreen Jesus. Evergreen Jehovah. He's the only one who's ever green, ever fresh. He never has grown old, even through countless ages. Wow. He's amazing. Oh, I want to know him. Now, in Roman numeral 2, we can go faster on these last few points. How about let's read together? We need to know God as the triune God. God is triune for his economy. And I believe these points may be more familiar with us. A, the God who is dispensing himself into us is the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is one, yet he is triune. Matthew 28:19. Very good verse to show the triune God. We baptize people into the name, one name, But what is that name? Of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. One name, but this is a triune name. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is the triune God. This is our God. To know God, we need to know Him as the triune God. And really what that means is we need to know Him in His dispensing. His dispensing. Why is He triune? Just to dispense Himself. And whenever you want to share with someone, I would really encourage you to read 2 Corinthians 13:14. Have you memorized this one? Let's try it. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You should speak that to someone these days, right? Be with you all. 2 Corinthians 13:14. So clear. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son, the love of God the Father as the source, and the fellowship, the flow, the reaching of the Holy Spirit be with you. The triune God is to be with you. He's triune so He can be with you. So He can bring that grace to you. He can bring love to you. He can flow in you as fellowship. This is why He is triune. How is He triune? I don't know. I can't explain it. But I know why He is triune. So that He can flow His triune being into my tripartite being. B says the three of the Godhead coexist and co-inherit. When you study the triune God, you read the New Testament, these are very good words to remember. Yeah. Coexist means they exist at the same time. The Father, Son, and Spirit coexist. They are distinct. They are distinct. That's what this point mentions. Very clearly in Matthew 3, as the Lord was being baptized, coming out of the water, what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon Him as a dove, and out of the heavens a voice spoke, "This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I have found my delight." Well, who would say, "This is my Son"? The Father. Father speaking from the heavens, Spirit as a dove, Son coming out of the water. What is that? Triune God coexisting. All right, moving right on. Next, He co-inheres. What does it mean to co-inhere? To live within one another, mutually indwelling one another. Again, how does He do that? I don't know. I just love the Bible. And in John 14, they also co-inhere, which means to live with one another. Do you not believe I am in the Father and the Father is in me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So the Son and the Father are co-inhering within one another. This is our wonderful triune God. In their coexistence, number three, the three of the Godhead are distinct, but their co-inherence makes them one. So we say the triune God are the three are distinct, but never separate. Distinct, but never separate. So they coexist and they co-inhere from eternity to eternity. This is our triune God. And let's read letter C together. The Trinity of the Godhead is not for doctrinal understanding, but for the dispensing of God Himself in His Trinity into His chosen and redeemed people. Wonderful. We can never talk enough about the triune God dispensing Himself into us. You should share this with your friends. Yeah, just read them Revelation 22:1. Show them the triune God. He showed me a river of water of life, the Spirit, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, the Son, in the middle of its street. This triune God, it just wants to flow Himself into us. Now, in the last point, how can we maintain a proper relationship with God? All right? How can we maintain a proper relationship with God? So how about let's read these 5 points all together just to get an overview, and we'll say a few more words before we give you some time to share. So how about let's do it this way. Brothers, can you read letter A? Just the point on A. Yeah, and then sisters B, brothers C, sisters D, and all together E. Let's just see these wonderful ways to maintain a proper relationship with God. All right, brothers A, we need to fear God. Amen. Sisters,
we need to love God.
Amen. We need to seek God. Together, we need to serve God. So five wonderful ways that we can maintain our relationship with God. So I hope you've seen something tonight about what it is to know God as God, not just as our Father, but as God, the Creator, the one who's sovereign, the one who's the potter. How should we maintain our relationship? Number one, to fear God. In number one, it says, the fear of Jehovah is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of Jehovah is the beginning. To be wise is to fear Jehovah. What is it to fear Jehovah? Should I say, oh God, I can't come to you. I'm afraid of you. You're scary. No. To fear God is to submit to God's authority. This is what it means, to fear God. Many good verses. Let me just read you a couple. Psalm 103:11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness upon those who fear him. You want to enjoy his loving kindness, his mercy to you, but it's to those who fear him. It's to those who fear him, who submit to his authority. Malachi 4:2, unto you who fear my name will the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. We pray this week that the Lord, as a Son of Righteousness, would come to you with healing, to heal you. But you know who the Son of Righteousness comes to? To those who fear his name. So this is our attitude, to revere God, to honor God, to fear God in a healthy way. It doesn't mean we can't come to him, we can't call on him, but it means to submit to God's authority. Then we need to love God. Dear young people, do you love God?
Amen.
Do you love him with all your heart?
Amen.
All your soul?
Amen.
Your whole mind and your whole strength?
Amen.
Why is it so crucial to love God? Because love opens our being to God. There's no other way to open your being but by love. That's why it's very good to sing love songs to the Lord. I would encourage you in our time together, but even personally, just take a hymn, take a song, and sing to the Lord. When you sing, when you love the Lord, you open your being to him. You open. You can't help it. Right? He constrains you with his love. And then you can pray prayers like we mentioned earlier. Lord, whatever you want to do in my life, however you want to direct me, Lord, I just say amen. You can't say that unless there's love in your heart. Right? You can acknowledge, yes, God is my God. He's the potter. Yep. He owns me. But it's not so sweet until you love him. And he comes to constrain us with his love. How much God has prepared for those who love him. The more you love him, the more he will show you all that he has prepared, which is just himself. He will lead you into his riches as you love him. C says we need to seek God. I hope you would all be seekers of God. Yeah. Seeking after God. Psalm 63:1, O God, you are my God. I seek you diligently. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints in longing for you in a dry and weary land without water. This is the age today. It's a dry and weary land without water. To go to the college campuses today, the only way you can go is you have to drink of him every morning. Just as Noah, you have to find grace in his eyes. Find the grace. Find the supply. Find the enjoyment of the Lord. Without that, you're just in a desert. You're just in a barren land. And there's no water. There's no source of supply in the world. I hope all of you would seek the Lord day by day. You know, I'll give you one other verse that's not on here. Luke 1:53 has always helped me. In this verse, it says, I believe Elizabeth maybe was the one who said this, the hungry he has filled with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Every day we should seek him. You say, oh, the college training was so good. I enjoyed the Lord so much. But here's my question to you. What will you do the day after the college training? Does your seeking end? Oh, we finished the book. Hey, all right. The book's over. Yeah, I know God. I saw God. I gained God. In a godless age, amen. All right. I wonder what they're going to do next year. Dear young people, seek him every day. Pursue him. Pursue him. To know him, to experience him. If you're full, if you say, you come to the meetings, go, oh yeah, I heard this before. You're just going to go away empty. The rich, the full, those that are not poor in spirit, they go away empty. But those who are empty, who are open, who are hungry, I hope you would come to each meeting hungry. Isn't this good? Come hungry. Come to the prayer meeting hungry, brothers. I know brothers are usually hungry. You might even be hungry right now. We just ate a little while ago. But you're hungry. You're a growing brother. This is good. Be hungry for the Lord. Even after you just ate him, be hungry for him, right? Again and again. Don't be satisfied with what you had yesterday, right? Pursue him. Oh, may the Lord give us such a hunger. We need to pant and thirst for God. Have you ever panted for God? You're on your way to the meeting. We were taking our dog to my in-laws, and it was a hot day, and the dog's like, shh, shh, quiet down. panting. What would happen if the Lord had some young people who panted after him? I don't know if, wow, he would be very happy, I believe. Number two says, God himself should be our unique goal, our unique aim. We should not seek anything other than God. So I just ask you, consider tonight, oh Lord, are you my unique goal, my unique aim? If you want to have a proper relationship with God, you have to seek him. You say, well, isn't the Lord, he's God, right? So, like, doesn't he just do everything? He is God. He is sovereign. He does arrange our environment. But he's found by those that seek him, right? He's a rewarder. Did you see the other part of that verse, Hebrews 11:6? He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's right. Diligently seek him. Oh, we need to seek him diligently again and again to know him, to experience him. May he be your unique goal, dear young people, that you could pray this prayer. You could say this, whom do I have in heaven but you? And besides you, there is nothing I desire on earth. Wow, what a prayer. May the Lord make us such ones. Then we finally end with worshiping and serving. What is it to worship God? Worship is a recognition that he is God and that we are men. Genuine worship is to acknowledge our limitations and acknowledge that God has no limitations. Isn't that something? This is genuine worship. He is God. Lord, you are God. Many times in the Old Testament, Moses, Abraham, David, it says that they bowed and worshiped. They bowed and worshiped. Of course, in our meetings, in our time with the Lord, we're not, you know, how you worship the Lord and so forth is up to you. But I hope you would have this attitude of bowing. Yeah, whether you bow your head physically or kneel, but this would be our attitude when we worship God. We're not lifting up our heads and, oh God, I'm so much. I know you want my worship. But we would just bow and worship. This means we know God. Yeah, we would worship him in such a way that he is God. The first thing a young person needs to learn is to worship God. Nothing is more important in human life than worshiping God. Wow, nothing is more important. To worship God means that we realize that God is always good, and whatever God does is always right. So the Lord would lead us. Again, I give you these three words that we started at the beginning. Right? Do you remember them? How should we know God's ways? Recognize, number one. Two, accept. Number three, worship. This is the highest way to have a relationship with God, is to worship him. This is what he's seeking. He's seeking those that would worship him. And finally, we need to serve God. I encourage you to serve the Lord. We turn to God from idols. Why? To serve a living and true God. He is living and he is true. We turn from all the idols of this age to serve him. And one of the best ways to serve him in Romans 1:9, I serve in my spirit in the gospel of his Son. The Lord has given you a window of a few years to be on a college campus, which is the best place to preach the gospel. You won't have that environment later on. You get a job, you're in the workplace, more limited, can't say so much. But to be on a campus, oh, where everybody's speaking everything, why would we not speak the gospel? Why would we not speak about this God that we know? This God that we're experiencing day by day. This is a wonderful way to serve the Lord in the gospel of his Son. And for eternity, we will serve him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. How about let's read the focus together? Amen. We need to know God, as the Creator, the Sovereign One, and as I Am, the self-existing and ever-existing One. And we need to know him as the triune God who is carrying out his economy by dispensing himself into our being. So let's take a minute to pray. Whatever the Lord has spoken to you, pray that with your neighbor, and the brothers will lead us. Thank you, Lord.